From Hollywood.
From Hollywood.
Welcome to the Rat's Ass Podcast with Mojo Elliott.
Is anybody up for a game of poker? Fleabag, get the chips. Let's play some poker today.
User.
From the Mojo Studio and Ballroom on Sunset and Vine. I hope you're ready to go on another action-packed adventure.
Let's do it.
Here's what's on tap on the wrap. He said he grew up on Wonder Bread and mac and cheese. Oh, the BS Master was in rare form over the weekend. But who can it be? Stick around and find out. What do you mean you're not dressing up for Halloween? Do you need some crazy pills? We'll get them for you. Today's burning question is, are you easily spooked? And do I ever run into celebrities living here in LA? I get this question all the time, but I'll spill the details in moments. And the quadruple or nothing music quiz is coming. $2,400 on the line today because my producer, Fleabag, has a gambling problem. We'll see if we can stump me today. Another round of head traumas on the way. We haven't given you the scream test in a while, but today is the day. Plus our usual lunacy and loose behavior, including weird, wacky, and ridiculous people. That's what we've got lined up for you today on the Rat's Ass Podcast for Monday, October 27th. I do appreciate the ears. All right, before I get rolling here, I've been accused of editing my podcast, and I'm very offended by this. I want you all to know right now that the Rat's Ass Podcast is unedited, unfiltered, and of course, uninhibited. I take pride in hitting record and rapping and tap for 20 to 30 minutes, just like I did on the radio. All flubs and flaws are included, so help me, Jesus H. I do not edit this podcast. We are rolling right now, and just listen close. You'll hear plenty of flubs and flaws, believe me. All right, after this week, No News November kicks in, and that means for the entire month, there will be no political content of any kind on the Rat's Ass Podcast. The idea here is to chill out and get ready for a happy Thanksgiving with family and friends. It was very popular last year. We got a lot of listeners last year, so we're going to bring it back for the month of November. And plus, I'm going to be out the week of Thanksgiving, so our last podcast will be on November 20th, this month of November coming. That's 8 more shows, including today. Also, Radio Wars is almost down to the final 16 stations. We have been looking for the best classic rock station in America. By the end of the year, we're going to get there. You'll find out who it is. Will it be your hometown radio station? You can hit the hub and connect to it all on ratsasspodcast.com. All right, let's get into the wrap. Over the weekend, our slumlord Governor Gavin Newsom said he would let us know after the midterms if he was going to run for president or not. He said he's considering it right now. Now, don't kid yourself. He's running. But I promise you, he's not going to win. I'm counting on 49 other states, hating California as you do, that this guy will not sniff the White House. But he was on a podcast with former NBA players over the weekend, and he tried to act like he grew up in the projects, hustling games to make money to pay the bills, lived on mac and cheese, Wonder Bread. Well, here, let's let him tell the story. You listen and you tell me what you think.
Also, you know, it was also about paying the bills, man. And it was just like hustling. And so I was out there kind of raising myself, turning on the TV, started, you know, just getting obsessed, you know, sitting there with the, you know, the Wonder Bread and five stacks of,
man, you know, like the White Stack Five story.
Come on. Macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Man, I love, good, man, bro. Yeah. Are you talking about me?
Young YG.
YG, but man. Every day
in the backyard, just bouncing the basketball, throwing the ball against the wall until the ball is just like fraying, man. And your arms fall
yourself.
Off. That's it. Whole thing. So just, and then, you know, then this student that was shitty student is in the back with his head down, all of a sudden started throwing the baseball a little faster than everyone else. And started, you know, make a few free throws because I was sitting there practicing 500 of them every damn night. And in high school, I look up in the stands, my dad's back up there.
Okay, dope.
And it's like, man. And then he's bringing his friends and you're captain of the team. And you're like, geez, you know. And it just saved me and it got me into college.
Yeah. Are you buying it? Newsom grew up in an old, old privileged San Francisco family, like fourth generation. He's about as mac and cheese and Wonder Bread as Alex Soros. And he didn't go to college to play basketball. He did go to tiny Santa Clara University where he graduated. He went on a partial baseball scholarship, but he quit. And guess why he quit? He had the old arm injury that ruined his career. Now, you and I both know if you're a sports fan, they can do magnificent things with medicine to fix arms so they can continue to throw a baseball. That's code for couldn't hack it, wasn't good enough. But yeah, he's not going to say that. Are you kidding me? Now, I would love to play Newsom a game of one-on-one in basketball. In fact, you know what? I'm going to call Gavin Newsom right now and see if I can get through and set it up.
Thank you for calling the office of Governor Gavin Newsom. In order to expedite your call, please select from the following options. To continue in English, please press 1 now.
Yes,
1. Para continuar en español, por favor. For office hours, mailing address, fax number, or to email the office of Governor Newsom, please press 1. If you would like to speak to a representative, please press 6.
There we go.
If you have reached this message, our office is closed.
Oh, God. You can never reach this guy. Never reach this guy. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a challenge out on social media today, and maybe I'll get a bite. Maybe you'll share it. Maybe we'll get a bite on this. I got a video of me shooting the old hoops. I'll throw up there and do a challenge. But yeah, I would love to get him on a basketball court. Joe Rogan really has Newsom pegged, though. Check out what he said about the governor, the slumlord governor of California.
Nobody wants President Newsom either. Nobody believes in that guy. The guy's a fucking con man. I mean, everything he did in California, from trying to mandate vaccines for kids, what was totally unnecessary, to being caught out in public without a mask and lying about the fact that he was outdoors.
Yeah.
All of it. It's just nobody believes in that guy. He's just a politician, just a stone cold narrative driven politician, you know, and it's nobody thinks he's a real human. Whether you like Trump or not, whether you think he's corrupt or not, that's a human being. You know what that guy is. Same thing with RFK Jr. Whether you believe that he's correct about vaccines or whether you believe his policies would be effective, and you know that's a human being. With Newsom, you've got like this construct, this cardboard cutout of a person.
I think he has him pegged pretty good. In fact, I think he'd have a more meaningful conversation with a Domino's pizza box, you know? All right, GQ Magazine posted an article that said, if you don't dress up for Halloween, it means you're boring. You're a boring person, and I disagree with this. You know, as somebody used to throw killer Halloween parties at nightclubs for years, my observation continues to be that people don't dress up because they're either very shy, they lack creativity, don't think they can measure up, or they're just too damn cheap to go out and spend money on a good costume. Now, we used to have these really good costume contests for money, and people went out of their way to come up with some really cool costumes. It's really amazing to see how creative people can be when there's money on the line. And we always gave away like $1,000 first prize, second prize, $500. Third prize would be something like a box of condoms, but ribbed for her pleasure. Yeah, we went all the way out for the prizes here. Kind of took that idea from Glengarry Glen Ross. First prize is a Cadillac, second prize, set of steak knives. So we thought we would have fun with the third prize like that. Had all kinds of cool stuff, though. I know we did a box of condoms like that once. But here's the deal. If you're having a hard time coming up with a costume, look at current events, pop culture, the horror genre, cartoons. You can look on a frickin' cereal box and come up with a character for a Halloween costume. Okay, you can do that. Or even go as an X-rated character. Had quite a those folks show up every once in a while. Ooh, there's some humdinger ideas out there. And I'm sure you can Google some things. There's got to be something on Pinterest. But to not dress up for Halloween, I mean, Halloween is for adults these days. It's not for kids. Now, for an example, for me this year, I'm dressing up as Laurent Mamdani in a terrorist garb, carrying the head of the Statue of Liberty around, and I'll walk around with this big shit-eating grin on my face, handing out passes for free bus rides to my government-run kitchen, soup kitchen. Now, if you like that idea, feel free to use it. Not everybody's going to. But me, it's current events. All right, today's burning question is, are you easily spooked? Now, I like to go to haunted houses around Halloween. They have a pretty cool one at the mall near me here in the bubble that I live in. We like to watch people go out of their minds and get all spooked up. I don't get spooked because I have this idea when I go into a haunted house, I automatically just tell myself, you know, none of this is real. Nothing's going to happen to you. It's just to get a rise out of you. But so many people lose their damn minds. What's fun for me is when, you know, you have these people that pop out of the corner and try to scare you, is to try and scare them back. That's what's fun, because sometimes you can actually freak the monsters out when you do this. And I know a lot of people love to watch scary movies around Halloween. Now, to me, the gold standard is The Exorcist. And I knew I was a little different when I was a kid, because I saw this on the original release in the theaters when I was a kid. And people actually ran from the theaters screaming in fear from The Exorcist. I mean, they really got freaked out by it because of the religious element to it. And people passed out in the aisles and got freaked out. And here I was laughing. I kind of thought the movie was, yeah, I knew it was a scary movie, but I thought it turned into a little bit of a comedy. So that's why I've always known I'm a little different because of that. Now, according to IMDb, these are the top five best horror films of all time. At number five, they say The Exorcist. I say it's number one, but who gives a rat's ass what my opinion is. Saw is number four. Love the Saw movie series. Those are great movies. Not scary, but they're really good. Psycho is still number three with Anthony Perkins. I've seen that movie so many times. I'm still not sure that that stands up today as being a scary movie. Aliens was number two. That was the second version of Alien. And number one is Alien. I watched those Alien movies and I was bored stiff. Can't watch them. Can't watch them. But I'll tell you what movie did scare the hell out of me was Jaws, because that seemed real. I don't even go in the Pacific Ocean because I believe there's Jaws out there with my name on him. He's just waiting for me to dip my toe in the Pacific Ocean. I remember one time, walking into the Pacific Ocean and seaweed hit my ankle and I freaked out. So yeah, Jaws really freaked me out a lot. So to me, that's, you know, maybe a little scarier than The Exorcist, which I think is a comedy. Because I live in Los Angeles, though, I always run into people not from here who say, hey, do you ever run into any celebrities? We get this in emails, we get this in conversations, and, you know, I've lived in L.A. for 40 years, and I rarely run into celebrities. Now, I've interviewed quite a few over the years. I've forgotten more than I recall, but just out at the grocery store, a mall, at an event, a ball game, it's very, very rare. Famous people don't want to be bothered, so they hire assistants to do their dirty work, and if they go to things, they tend to have special places for them, so you can't get near them. Yes, they're the special ones. They're the special ones. But the first time I ran into a celebrity, it was at a Lakers game. I was in the restroom doing what men do in the restroom, pulled up to the urinal and looked over, and there was Jack Nicholson sitting there taking a whizzer in his sunglasses. I said, Jack, just being surprised, you know, like that. And he looked at me, pulled his sunglasses down, looked at my package and said, nice to meet you. And that was it. That was all there was. I was a little disturbed by the look, if you know what I mean. Then I was at a nightclub called The Palace in Hollywood one night, and I heard this voice. I go, God, that voice sounds familiar, and looked over, and it was Al Pacino standing there. I was a little shocked because, he's a very short guy. He's about 5'5", 5'6", something like that. I mean, I could have rested my drink on his head and everything. Hoo-ah! Yeah, I could have. But God, what a great actor. Love Al Pacino. Now, one day, I was at Staples near my dojo, and I ran into two people at the same time. Heather Locklear and hockey great Wayne Gretzky. Trust me, I did not care about Wayne Gretzky. I was like, ooh, Heather Locklear. This is when she was in Melrose Place. And I will tell you, she was more gorgeous in person than on TV. I don't know how in the hell that happens, but it happened. I was in Malibu one day, and I've told this story before at a country store, and Britney Spears walked out. I just had a new puppy with me, and she held him and kissed him on the nose, and that was it. Nothing big. She was very nice, and that's why I'd like to see her get a man and be happy at some point. Once I was in line at CVS, this was very funny to me because Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue was standing in front of me. He was holding four boxes of black hair dye. I'm kind of chuckling about that because, you know, a lot of people think he had natural black hair, but nope, it's all done by Clairol. And for several years, Terry Nunn, who was from the band Berlin, was my neighbor. And the funny thing about that is I rarely saw Terry. Rarely. It was very rare. Right now, David and Victoria Beckham, they're within 5 miles of me. Never have seen them once. Eddie Money used to live down the street from me, rest his soul. He used to live close by. Would drop by the radio station on occasion and just sit there and shoot the Shinola. There are a lot of celebrities who live in the neck of woods where I live, in the Santa Monica Mountains near Malibu. Band members from Linkin Park, Hoobah Stank, Tubes, REO Speedwagon live in the area. I think Richie Sambora might still live in the area. Rumors are flying now that Kaylee Cuoco, who played Penny on Big Bang Theory, just grabbed a dojo in my bubble. So, but the point being, I rarely see celebrities. Oh, this is a good one. I saw Jay Leno on the freeway on the 101 one day driving a Lamborghini, and I couldn't figure out how in the hell did they fit his head in that damn thing? Did they take the top off, put Jay in, and put the top back on? I mean, Jay's got the biggest pumpkin I've ever seen. All right, well, if you've listened to the podcast over the past couple of weeks, then you're aware my producer Fleabag has a gambling problem. Yes, he does, and don't you dare deny it, Fleabag. You got a gambling problem. Now, some people have asked, why do we not hear Fleabag, except for that tone? That's his tone to get my attention. He is not in the studio. He is away and on FaceTime, and he texts me content, but Fleabag is also mute. He does not speak, and a lot of people didn't know this, and he doesn't mind me telling you this as long as I do it respectfully, which I am, but we get a lot of questions about this. Why doesn't he just ask you the questions so we could interact? But he goes on, he finds all these quizzes on TikTok, and he thinks he can stump me with them. Now, I do have a correction I need to make. Last podcast, I said I'd answered 40 questions in a row. Wrong. It's only been 30. I screwed up. So please, if you would, forgive me on this one, all right? We will make amends. Anyway, he's into me for $600. And today we're going to play for quadruple the money or $2,400 because he's positive he has found one that will stump me for sure. I say it's impossible to stump me on this stuff. Okay? Fleabag, are you ready to do this one? All right. Hit it and let's see if I can bring home the bacon. $2,400. Let's go.
Only true ballad lovers can ace this quiz. Ready? Let's play. Who sang the iconic ballad, I Will Always Love You, for the Bodyguard soundtrack?
Oh, God, it wasn't Kevin Costner. It was Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston.
They always start easy.
Who originally wrote and recorded Nothing Compares to You, which Sinead O'Connor made famous?
Prince.
Prince.
Are you sweating, Fleabag? Starting to, huh?
My Heart Will Go On, the theme from Titanic, is sung by which artist?
Oh, God. Death Wears Thy Sting, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion.
God, I hate that song.
Which song by Elton John was rewritten and performed at Princess Diana's funeral?
Oh, another one I can't stand. Candle in the Wind.
Candle in the Wind.
Oh, hideous.
Against All Odds, Take a Look at Me Now, is a power ballad by which singer?
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins.
Okay, I wasn't quite sure about that.
Which Aerosmith ballad was featured in the movie Armageddon?
Oh, another gut wrencher. I don't want to miss a thing, or didn't miss a thing.
I don't want to miss a thing.
Close enough, Fleabag?
Which Queen ballad features the famous line, "Nothing really matters to me"?
It's not a ballad, but it's a Bohemian Rhapsody. Queen.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Which Righteous Brothers song became famous again after being featured in the movie Ghost?
They're Righteous Brothers. Unchained Melody.
Unchained Melody.
I'm starting to sweat, Fleabag.
Who sang Unbreak My Heart, one of the best-selling ballads of the 90s?
I'm going to say Toni Braxton.
Toni Braxton.
Oh, yes.
Get ready for your last question.
I'm ready.
Comment your score and follow for more.
Who sang the 2011 song Someone Like You, which became a worldwide hit?
That would be Adele.
Adele.
Yeah. There were a couple in there, Fleabag. The Phil Collins one and the Toni Braxton. I sweat a little bit. But you got to understand, he's heard me say this before, that I absolutely hate ballads, and it's true. Hate ballads, because I had to play so many of them on the damn radio. That's why I know them, but I don't listen to them anymore. But Fleabag, you probably thought that's why you had me over the barrel on that one, huh? Is that right? Yeah. All right, well, you're into me for $2,400, so here's the deal. You can write the check, or let's go for a flat $5,000 next week, and I'll give you a week to come up with one that's really, really hard. Okay? What do you think? $5,000. Do you want to think about it? Do I need to play the Jeopardy theme for you when you think about it? $5,000. The deal is, if I win, you pay me $5,000. If I lose, I owe you nothing because you're into me for $2,400 right now. So what do you want to do? All right. You're up for it. You're going for the $5,000. You're going to keep doing this until I miss and clean this and clean the slate, right? All right. Well, we'll do this till we get to $1,000,000. It's up to you. I like to play games. I like to play them all the time. Oh, I can tell he's sweating. Poor Fleabag over there.
Oh, God, you're going to need a ham sandwich and a beer for this one. Here is Mojo Elliott with Rat Sports.
All right, how about my Los Angeles Lakers last night? No LeBron, no Luka, and they beat Sacramento on the road 127-120 behind 51 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists from Austin Reeves. Yeah, do you think the Lakers need a third star? I don't think so. DeAndre Ayton added 22 points and 15 boards. The Kings are no slouch. It was a very fun game to watch, too, by the way. Very fun game. These guys worked those guys over really good. The Lakers, meaning the Lakers worked them over. All right, in the NFL, the New York Jets beat Cincinnati for their first win of the season and in the process killed my 14 money parlay. I went 3-1, 25-7 overall, but the Jets beating the Bengals in Cincinnati feels kind of fixed to me. You know, we got this whole gambling scandal going on. I was like, that's a little suspect to me. On the road in Cincinnati, and they come back in the fourth quarter, the New York Jets, 0-7 New York Jets pull this off. Justin Fields, really? Felt kind of doity to me. Anyway, the gambling scandal continues. It gets bigger and bigger. And some people say this is just the tip of the iceberg, but you can add NFL Hall of Famer Antonio Gates to the list of prominent athletes involved in fixing poker games. Now, if you're a small-time gambler like on FanDuel, DraftKings, I doubt it'll affect any of us. I'm a small-time gambler like you are. I don't bet big, huge. Well, I guess if it's music trivia, I'll go all day, all night on that one. But as far as sports go, you know, I'm not a big-time gambler. You know, we just like to have a little fun with it. That's all. So I doubt it will affect people like that. But this whole thing about integrity that everybody's talking about, you know, I can tell you integrity has always been a fugazi. I've been making parlay bets in back rooms and bars in Pittsburgh since I was 15. There's always somebody looking for an edge. And all I do is look for patterns. And that's why I'm probably at 80% picking 14 parlays this season because, you know, there's typically patterns. I missed the pattern with the Jets because they were 0-7. They were due. I missed that pattern. I should have said they're on the road, 0-7. Cincinnati, you know, kind of a 500 football team at best. You know, if anybody was going to lose a game, it would have been Cincinnati. But, you know, I tend to go with the pattern that, you know, a team that's 0-7 can easily go to be 0-8. So that's why I took the Bengals on that one. All right, Monday Night Football tonight. We got Washington and Kansas City. I've got the Chiefs on this one because I think the NFL favors Kansas City. Unless they're going to try and trip us up and say, oh, we're going to have to let Washington win this one to get people off our backs thinking we favor Kansas City. That could be a pattern that starts. I don't know. We'll find out tonight. World Series resumes tonight here in L.A. between Toronto and the Dodgers. The series is knotted up at a game apiece. Games 3, 4, and 5 are here in L.A. Game 6 and 7 will be played in Toronto if necessary. All right, check in the chat box at ratsasspodcast.com. Andrew Graham, Munster, Indiana. Okay. I'm sorry, it just happens to me. Andrew, which is long for Andy. Andy Graham? Really? Okay. Andy, I don't mean to make fun of your name, but just sometimes these things just catch me weird. He wants to know who wins between number one Ohio State and number two Indiana. Well, they don't play each other during the regular season, Andrew. So if they meet up, it'll be the Big Ten championship game. The Big Ten with 18 teams. For football. What is there, 32 teams in the Big Ten for basketball? Anyway, I like Indiana's chances, though. I mean, I watched them wipe the field with UCLA on Saturday, and while the Buckeyes are a damn good team, I think the Hoosiers have a magnificent shot at the national championship unless they screw up towards the end of the season. All right, Sammy Borman, Casper, Wyoming. She says, I grew up a Lakers fan in Cali, and my question is, will the Lakers rush LeBron back if the Lakers continue to win without him? I mean, why would they? He's old. He's almost going to be, 41 in December? So if you can rest that back and the Lakers continue to win, you get into January, he's got 3.5 months to play basketball, and he'll be, you know, really good for the playoffs. And that's when you want LeBron James. So, the more they can continue to win without him, why would you rush him back? All right, and that is sports for you today on The Wrap.
Rat's Ass Podcast. Head trauma.
All right, today we're going to roll out the screen test. It's a simple movie or trivia, TV trivia question. Easy for me to say. How many movies has Tom Hanks appeared in, and what was his highest grossing film? How many movies has Tom Hanks appeared in, and what was his highest grossing film? Think about it. We'll have the answer for you coming up here on the podcast.
It's time for some loose behavior on the Rat's Ass Podcast.
All right, let's get into some weird, wacky, and ridiculous people so we can all feel better about ourselves on a Monday. Kurt G. from Talladega, Alabama, worked as a mechanic changing oil for cars at a local Speedy Lube, and he figured out if he told customers their cars needed one extra quart of oil than required, he could keep the cash for the extra quart of oil. Now, Kurt continued to do this for several months and was making a pretty decent amount of extra money. But his scheme came to a closing abrupt end when he attempted to convince a man driving a Tesla that he needed 6 quarts of oil. Turns out the guy was his regional manager. And in case you didn't know, Tesla does not require oil.
Hey, heads up. Here comes your celebrity cheese.
Right, what in the Sam Hill is going on at Disney World in Orlando? 3 people have died at the resort over the past 10 days, and the latest was ruled a suicide. This time, the victim was a 28-year-old man, Matthew Cohn, who jumped to his death from high up on the Disney World Hotel. Now, here in Anaheim, Disneyland, a woman in her 60s was pronounced dead after she was found unresponsive after riding the Haunted Mansion ride. Something spooked her. I guess if you're planning a trip to Disney, though, beware. There is more than the price of admission that can kill you. All right, the stars were out in Hollywood at Paramount Studios last night for the Vogue World to raise money for charity, led by performances by Doja Cat and Gracie Adams. Afterwards, the rumors started flying about Hailey Bieber showing up without Justin. Is their marriage back on the rocks? Again? Is there trouble in paradise? Or maybe it was just Justin having cramps and decided to stay home with a heating pad in Midol. You know, maybe that was the case for him. Taylor Swift's new album, Life of a Showgirl, starts week number 4 at number 1 on the charts. For all the bad reviews this album got, the fans seem to love it. Number 1 for 4 weeks in a row. They're digging it. So next up is Swift's Eras Tour documentary on Disney. I think that debuts December 12th. Is that right, Fleabag? Is it December 12th for Taylor Swift's documentary? Okay, good. Thank you. You know what? If you're a young dad of, if you're a dad of a young daughter, starting to look like a Taylor Swift Christmas to me, and that pretty much means you're going to have to
bend over and take it like a man.
All right, it's official. Pop singer Katy Perry, who is also an ex-American Idol judge too. Now you know who she is. She is hooking up with the former Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau. They've been kind of flirting around with each other for a couple of months, but now they're making it official. The two celebrated her 45th birthday in Paris, France. That's doing it upright, though. You know, it's nice to have the cash to go do that. Which begs the question, though, does Katy Perry suffer from a disease that is known as curious pussy? Okay, typically this title is reserved for girls who seek to sleep with famous men, but in Katie's case, that's all she sleeps with. I mean, look at the track record here. Orlando Bloom, Russell Brand, John Mayer, and Diplo. You know, Katie has claimed that she kissed a girl and liked it, but I'm going to say if you pull my middle leg, it'll play. I don't think she did. And Britney Spears has now been single for 248 days.
Who gives a rat's ass?
Rat's Ass Podcast. Email from our Gmail.
All right, this is where anything goes based on your questions, comments, and observations. Brandy H. Irvine, California says, early voting says Prop 50 is going to pass. Yeah, I heard. But voter ID is close to having enough names on the ballot to pass. You're not talking about either one enough. Come on, we need you. Well, you know, I think I talk about it enough. I'm certainly very busy on social media about voting no on Prop 50. And the same goes for voter ID. My family, everybody in California has voted no on Prop 50. But man, we're only a small group of people. That's all we can do is just vote no and hope that more people vote no than yes, right? And it's being pushed with nothing but lies. Essentially, what we have here is the authoritarian Democrats trying to sell Trump as the authoritarian. In simple terms, they're saying the Democrats are saying, don't let the Republicans screw you. Let the Democrats continue to screw you instead. That's what this is all about. And I've said this from the beginning. If 50 passes, I think the vote's rigged. I just think it's rigged. Now, as for voter ID, over the weekend, I signed a petition on Saturday voting for voter ID. I think we need it, especially here in California with mail-in ballots. No voter ID, too much hanky-panky can go on, and I think that's what's happening with this Prop 50, but what more can I do but hold people at gunpoint? You know, I'm a lover, not a fighter. All right, Max K., Reno, Nevada. I like the piece on your blog pointing out how the Democrats project what they're doing onto others. I never looked at it that way, but I think you're right. Yeah, you can check it out at ratsasspodcast.com if you want to read the blog, but I kind of surmised everything I've been telling you on the podcast for the past year or so since we started this, that fascists are the ones calling you a fascist. The racists are the ones calling you a racist. The Nazis are the ones calling you a Nazi. The bigots are the ones calling you a bigot. The authoritarians are the ones calling you an authoritarian. The ones saying they're fighting for democracy are the ones trying to destroy it. I've really pounded that one home. But here's another point of view to back me up on this, because I don't like to have these opinions by myself. Tim Kramer, what do you say?
The Democrats are fascists. If you don't get that by now, you should understand it. Now, they're calling us fascist. That's one of the tricks of fascist. It's called projection. There's a whole bunch of books about it. Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals, he says, do what they're doing. It gives them the freedom then to do whatever the fuck they want to do, which is exactly what they've been doing. It's also important to understand that the people that are calling us fascists, you got to look at who's funding them. And who's the biggest funder? Well, one of them is George Soros and his son Alex. They are the biggest funders of these kind of actions. And who is George Soros? Well, he's the dude who actually collaborated with Nazis back in World War II to save his ass. And he's funding your movement. And you're calling us the fascists.
Are you getting it yet? I mean, we keep pounding this home, but it just seems like more and more people think that, the Democrats are telling the truth, and they're not. All right, Jason C., Tempe, Arizona. I mean, look what they did with Biden for 4 years. Come on, you're going to start believing them now? Thanks to you, I am now a Jersey Mike's man. All right, good for you. He says, I was a Jimmy John's all the way kind of guy until I was forced to get a Jersey Mike sandwich in Tucson last week, and I got it Mike's way too, so good call. Well, you know, I'm not going to let you down. If I say something's good, something's good. But thanks, Jason. I'm always down with the Italian sub, though, but I get it in the bowl, and I get it Mike's way. Now, here is something I heard, and I cannot confirm it yet, but I will, that there is a secret menu at Jersey Mike's, just like In-N-Out Burger here in California, that if you want extra meat in your bun, you got to ask for it Mike's wife's way, too. So it's kind of like, can I get an Italian sub Mike's way? And if you don't mind, make it Mike's wife's way, too. Try that. See if you get a little extra meat on your sandwich. It's like hidden menu. Just mention it, and they kind of spiff you a couple extra slices of meat. All right, Lori P. in Yakima, Washington has a dating dilemma. She says, I finally went to my boyfriend's house to meet his parents, and we had a little too much to drink. So his mom went off to bed, and when my boyfriend went to the kitchen, his father made a pass at me. I told my boyfriend I wanted to leave as soon as he returned, and I have no idea what to do. Well, I'm assuming that you'd even tell your boyfriend about it. You're just kind of keeping it to yourself for right now. Lori, I bet his dad was testing you a little bit to see if you were a flirt or not. I've heard some dads do this, looking out for their sons. I'd let it ride this time, but if he does it again, tell your boyfriend. Make sure you tell him. Oh, great, I got a text. Yeah, that's Toga Toga. That's my text alert. Animal House. See, I told you I love the movie. But seriously, see how he reacts. Because if he takes his parents' side over you, dump him. He's not a man yet. All right, here is today's Kiss Me, Kill Me email, where you tell me what you like and dislike about the Rat's Ass podcast. Byron Shock of Laramie, Colorado. Oh, I know where Laramie is. Beautiful place. What he likes is the mass amount of information in a short period of time. This is what everybody seems to like about the Rat's Ass podcast, is that in a 20-25 minute podcast, we really fill your head with a lot of stuff. What he hates is the Britney Spears countdown and the shout-outs. He says, who gives a rat's ass? Well, I understand. I thought we'd be done with Britney too, but I started it. I got to finish it. We got to see it through. And as far as the shout outs go, you know, I know younger generations don't like to say thank you. They don't know the words exist, but it's my way of saying thanks. So the shout outs will continue. I'm sorry to tell you. All right. If you have any questions, comments, or observations, send them to my producer, Fleabag, at ratsasspodcast@gmail.com.
Rat's Ass Podcast. Head trauma.
All right, today we're playing the screen test, which is a simple movie or TV trivia question. How many movies has Tom Hanks appeared in, and what was his highest grossing film? All right, if you said 77 movies, that's a lot, 77 films, and Toy Story 4 earned the most money with over $1 billion. If that's what you said,
yeah, baby. Yeah.
Congratulations, you got it right. But if you missed it, go see a doctor about your head trauma and get well soon. All right, I got to skedaddle. I'll have to go see my dentist, Dr. Nosmo King, DDS, today to get some grill work done. So not looking forward to that. He's a little rough sometimes. But I do have one more thing for you. Did you know 7 out of 10 women prefer a man who can cook over a man who can make them orgasm?
Hey, Mojo, what if a man can do both?
What if a man can do both? What, make her orgasm and enjoy some cooking? Then I would say he's probably a double trouble threat, Alexa.
Well, I bet you're no trouble at all then.
Well, that was just mean. That's be gone with you. I think she sits around all weekend and comes, how can I jab him this weekend? She's awful quick, though, you have to admit. Welcome to Rat Nation, now with 575 members. Mel Clemens of Battle Creek, Michigan. Alex Shaw from Panama City, Florida. Renee Pierce from Toms River, New Jersey. Also, to Bernie Berkshire in Bakersfield, California. And around the world, to listeners in our top five cities with the most listeners. Vancouver and Toronto, Canada. Sydney, Australia. Paris, France. And also London, England.
Now's your chance to be one of the few and the loud. Join Rat Nation at ratsasspodcast.com. Membership does have its rewards, you know.
You know, and I can't thank you enough for hitting that play button over and over again, too, gang. All right, that's it for this episode of the Rat's Ass Podcast. Go check out the ratsasspodcast.com. To get the entire Rat's Ass Podcast experience, you can listen to podcasts, rock out with Rat's Ass Rock TV, read the blog loaded with hot topicality, plus you can join Rat Nation without having to qualify, and connect with us on the socials. We'll do this again on Thursday, October 30th, the day before Halloween. Take care of each other, and thanks for dropping by the Rat's Ass Podcast.
The conversation continues between podcasts on X and ratsasspodcast.com. ratsasspodcast.com.
37 minutes. Unedited, unfiltered, uninhibited. There you go. That is proof positive right there, because there are a lot of flubs and flaws on this one. See you Thursday.